This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, and just writing that down right now, the number. Pay attention, everybody.
Give us a call.
855-752-4842. Somebody's going, wait, that's not the number I called last night. It's not. You have a new number. 855-752-4842. Getting through to Busted Pencils. Busted Pencils, yeah. It's educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm good. It's Wednesday. It's one of my favorite days of the week, always, because we're halfway through the we're on the other side of halfway through the teaching week. But it's also one of my favorite days, Tim, because we had a wonderful show Monday, a great show on Tuesday. But Wednesdays is always Educators Amplified Day. And man, we have teacher Joanna with us. And so that's always exciting. And we got a new number, a new phone number for our callers, 855-752-4842. Or if you know letters for numbers, it's 855-75-CIVIC.
Oh,
media. Nice. 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Give us a call. Put it in your phone's memory and call us all the time. But Teacher Joanna.
Call back and forth. Teacher Joanna. Yeah. How are you, Teacher Joanna?
Oh, guys, you know, I'm great. I'm coming off of my little getaway to Puerto Rico and coming back feeling so relaxed and refreshed, but also just like nurtured. So I went there to visit. My dad lives there part of the time. He kind of goes back and forth all the time, and all my family is there. And so even though I'm a 50-year-old working mom, it feels so good for your dad to still take care of you. And so it felt so great that he was just cooking meals and, you know, it was so nice. So I'm coming back feeling like I got all that nurturing, compassion, and love. That's like,
you might be hinting at something there. So, you know, so that was beneficial to have nurturing and care and somebody think, you know, about, you know, yeah, like putting you first.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So it was a great trip and it kind of filled my educator cup.
Well, gotta love.
How are you guys doing? You said that you had this like great show on Monday, and sorry, I didn't listen from PR. Oh. Just tell me a moment why you thought it was so great.
Monday show. Johnny, yeah, jump in there, man.
Ethan Siegel on our, you know, in-house. Well, he's not actually in our house. We wish, but, you know, we beam him in when we can. But Dr. Ethan Siegel, our astrophysicist, and he was just talking about the importance of public education in terms of, you know, where we learn to be, where we're challenged as learners and how important that is to challenge what we know in spaces. And so that was really nice. And then yesterday, man, Tim just kept asking brilliant questions around what is democracy and what are core democratic values. And we really got into it, you know, about how important it is to center those values and to really kind of think about what does it mean to teach teach and practice democracy.
Well, going back to you talking about Professor Siegel or Dr. Siegel or Mr. Siegel, that idea, right, that education isn't necessarily confirming your current beliefs, right? Mm. It's challenging beliefs and thoughts. So that's really cool to hear.
Well, we used to in Wisconsin, you know, there it's the Parents' Bill of Rights, and Ethan, being a scientist, was talking very, you know, very specifically about science education and should parents have the ability to opt their children out of things that the parents feel are controversial. And boy, it was great to hear Ethan kind of take this point of going, you know what? Maybe there's an opt-out. However, if you need to opt out of truth, this is what Ethan said, you might want to then just opt out of public education altogether, because if you signed up for public education, you signed up for truth. And when it comes to science and teaching truth in public schools, there should be no opt out, you know. And it was like, whoa, that's great to hear, because, yeah, you know what? You don't have the right to pull yourself out of the truth. He used a great illustration. He goes, you know, for example, you teach kids that to take care of plants, you give them water. He goes, you don't get to then come in and say, yeah, but I want to give them salt. He goes, no, that's not true. Plants need water. And so, yeah, you know, the false equivalency. Johnny, I see you want to jump in there.
Well, and it's important, Tim, when we talk about truth, we're really talking about trust and truth-based facts based on the best body of knowledge available that includes diverse perspectives on things. So it's like we talked yesterday about the core democratic values and about how dangerous it is to pick a few of those and run with them. It's really about having a nice balance across all of them, and truth being one of them. A caller, Joanna, called. Joanne from Madison called in and said, hey, what about transparency? We're like, that's an incredibly important aspect of connected with truth and building trust, right? And being able to build the trust that decisions will be made in the interest of the common good and based on the best available information that is based on truth, right? Fact, scientific consensus, expert input from diverse perspectives. And so diversity being also one of those values.
You sound like you're teaching again. Yeah, you missed it, Joanna. Johnny was teaching last night, man. He brought the schooling. He was dropping some Democratic Education 101 on the listeners. So, I mean, it was – so, yeah, two great nights. But here we go, you know, back to Wednesday, our favorite night of the week, Educators Amplified. Teacher Hallie giving her a break tonight, though, so we're out there. Teacher Hallie – you know what, though? You pay attention. Maybe give us a call. But we have Teacher Joanna, the other side of Educators Amplified. Oh, yeah. The number, too, in case it's new, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Joanna, so, you know, one of the callers, though, last night, it came up, and we had talked about this with you and Teacher Hallie. The need to fund schooling, you know, in the referendums that were out there, there was a little bit of hubbub about saying, you know, in Wisconsin particularly, there's a surplus. Why is it that money just doesn't get, you know, put out to the public schools? And Johnny talked about the referendums. So as we move into tonight, though, just wondering, though, is you kind of made this, I'm going to try to make these connections. The idea of, you know, being taken care of and how that lifts you up as a person, and then potentially realizing, you know, Teacher Joanna, could you use some of that lifting up, or could teachers out there, how do we lift you up to move you into a space to feel better? And potentially, is somebody go, oh my God, Tim, are you going to make the connection to funding and say that Teacher Joanna, if we really appreciated her, we would take care of the funding? Teacher Joanna, what do you think about that?
Well, I love it in terms of all the connections that I'm thinking about right now, and that something that concerns me, and I want to be able to speak about what you say about being taken care of is, you know, I just saw something in my local paper here in Milwaukee where there's like the CEO of Northwestern, you know, some literally wrote an op-ed that said, like, we can help MPS students by voting no on a referendum.
Oh, goodness.
Right. Right. And so, but what concerns me about that is that's a real, like, direct example. But in general, I think I brought this up last week. I am concerned that there isn't enough awareness of the realities of where we are at and what what people have been patching together through a long period of inadequate funding. And so, as I've mentioned before, I think it's 90 districts in the state of Wisconsin are up for referendum.
Wow. So,
90. So right now that's becoming a design feature, right? And so the reality is then there's at least 90 school districts that need that. And so just the idea, competitive, but it is not easy to go to a referendum. You know, it really is kind of like a last resort. And so I hope that folks are recognizing that reality, that no school district enters that decision lightly, because it's a ton of work, and it's a lot of A, B, and C, D planning of like all of your scenarios. And right. So we're talking now about simply taking care, you know, of public education. And when I see messages as like really, I can't believe it. Like seeing a message that's like, how can you help students say no to a referendum?
Okay. You got to give me a little, like, what was the reasoning behind saying no to the referendum?
The reasoning was that there's not enough accountability right now for where money goes and the results that it produces. And so to that, go ahead.
No. So in other words, so if we really want to help the kids of Milwaukee Public Schools, we'll vote no on them getting the funding they not want, but need to make the essentials of a public education a reality. We're going to create a better situation if we say no and deny them the essentials of what are needed to be there as a public education. Oh, it's Educators Amplified on a Wednesday night. Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Yeah, there's a new phone number tonight too. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Teacher Joanna in the house, Educators Amplified. We're going to continue. Yeah. A little bit more though, and saying, wait a minute, essentials, not wants. Yes. We're talking about essentials, referendums, taking care of public schools. Back in a minute. We will not witness this anymore.
This is the end for you. 10 seconds.
We're always talking. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's educated educators talking education. It's Wednesday night. Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, the number 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Teacher Joanna, we're, you know, taking care of education, taking care of teachers, but the whole idea, though, that there is this, we're going to help. Somebody literally put in writing in the Milwaukee area, not just somebody, too. This is a prominent, important type of person that you said the head of Northwestern, right?
Some
big bank, you know, a big banking person decided, hey, let's help Milwaukee Public School kids out by making sure they don't get the funding, not of the funding they want, but of the funding that they need for the essentials. And you sit there and go, no wonder then, as a teacher, if you're a teacher in that area in Milwaukee Public Schools, if you're a teacher in any of those 90 plus districts you said that are running referendums, if you're a teacher anywhere out there and you know that you don't have what you need, how is it then that you can ever feel kind of in that state where you feel taken care of, or Joanna, as you say, you know, where your nervous system is regulated to the point that you can perform your best?
Yeah, there's something in it, whether it's referendum or not. I think in general with education, we're refusing to accept or recognize the reality that our students really keep telling us about and they're communicating. If we refuse to accept and recognize the reality that our educators are communicating, you know? So when we think about maybe, I don't know if I would say really chronic absenteeism, but definitely with the teacher exodus, there's a huge piece of this, of that we're just refusing to recognize the reality. And we struggle, we've always struggled with accepting the recommendations that are being put forth, right, by students and by teachers. And so, yeah, just some of the referendum rhetoric I hear that is just that, like when we're still at a point where you're like, oh yeah, this seems kind of like a choice, that like, ho hum, if we make it, cool, if we don't, oh well, you know, I just don't sense that. And I don't know. And yet I see, you know, I'm in schools every day. I do see beautiful work being done. I see meaningful work being done. It's something. I mean, I almost need you guys to help me, because I'm like, the reality, you know, it's matching up for what's, and I think that bleeds into a lot of different areas. Like I said, not just, it's probably bleeds into every issue that you guys end up talking about, right? Is like, what realities are we accepting? Mm-hmm. What recommendations are we willing to put forth?
I like the way you said that. And I know Johnny jump in. What realities, back to Ethan, what truths are we accepting? And some of what we're saying, the reality on the ground then is potentially, kids don't have what they need. Teachers don't have what they need. Schools don't have what they need. That's a reality. And we're just accepting that. And I put this out to the listener, or, you know, or my neighbor out there. Are you okay with accepting that reality, that kids don't have what they need, teachers don't have what they need, the schools themselves don't have what they need? That's a reality, Johnny.
Well, it's a huge reality, Tim. And I kind of push a little bit more, you know, when I'm going to draw on those core democratic values we talked about yesterday, especially the one, popular sovereignty, where L.A. Tom calls and reminds us almost every show, we the people are the government. And that's one of the strengths of a democracy and an importance of public education. So I'm going to push it one further step, is that this, well, we have a right and responsibility to participate in things like school board discussions, important information about referendums and funding our schools. It shouldn't be a choice in terms of whether or not public education is funded. It should just be. And that's part of the problem, is it's been really pushed down to districts and to school boards and to communities to really figure out, okay, well, how are you going to make up for the shortfalling? Okay, what are you going to do? There's less money to go around. Nonsense. There's plenty of money. Callers have called in and pointed that out a number of times. We have plenty of money. There's plenty of tax base. We just choose to spend it at the state level differently than investing in public education how we ought to. And so then it trickles down into our local areas, which I like that there's local investment in it, but it shouldn't be, let's discuss whether or not, right, the school should be funded. It should be absolutely there, all funded. I know we do have these discussions about our fire departments, about our police departments, about our hospitals. And I think that's important to connect in, that care work in our communities, the things we invest in to make sure our communities are safe and healthy and stable, ought not to be put on individuals to fund directly and decide, right? We should be giving input, and at a state level, there should be, you know, adequate funding. Above and beyond that, okay, let's get into that. We can figure that out later, but let's raise the baseline up to where all the needs are met, and we're providing a quality education for all students, free at the point of access, because it's not free. I mean, we talked about it. It costs money. You know, it costs money. We've also pointed out, the research shows, that it's a wise investment.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's less money over time to do early interventions in our schools and have our schools be great places for kids and for teachers and for staff and for everyone in those buildings to be there. Make sure they're well paid, make sure they have health care, make sure all of those things. That's not free, right? But it ought to be in a public school system, state funded, right? And it ought to be non-negotiable. Here's the baseline. We want to talk, we want to make decisions about more. Okay, we can. But what's happened is we've cut back below that baseline need so far that we are having discussions about just getting to the bare essentials. And that's a problem.
Yeah, and I think that's the point too, is to point this out. And Teacher Joanna, I know this is where you'd be too. It's like, you know, we forget sometimes that the funding, as Johnny points out, that it's inadequate to start with. And so asking for, yes, Teacher Joanna, go ahead.
No, I'm like, that is my point of like not recognizing the reality. The reality is it's been, you know, we've lost all the money for so long. And to me, that's the recognizing the reality. But every time you hear about it in a way, it's being presented as like this neutral point of just like, what is this district asking taxpayers for now?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the problem is that, you know, it's actually, as Johnny would say, because we didn't do the minimum investment to the realities of what are needed to be there for kids, for teachers, for communities. We didn't do the minimum investment. And I even hate that word minimum, but there's a place there, Johnny. You said bring that foundation. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded. The number's 855-752-4842. Teacher Joanna, Educators Amplified. When we get back. You gotta love it. Flowers at your feet. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Wednesday night educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, Teacher Hallie taking a break tonight, but that's all right. We have Teacher Joanna loaded up the calls though, Teacher Joanna. So we're gonna go right to those.
Calls, calls on calls.
And we're gonna start first though with Mark. Mark in the sack. Mark, what's happening?
Yeah, thanks guys. And it's so sad to hear about this. How the government, our current legislatures, you know, since Scott Walker, has failed to adequately fund our public schools, you know, forcing, you know, more of the funding had to come from, you know, from local sources through the property tax, which, you know, that is, you know, can be painful. And it is just, and the limitations they want to put on what we are actually learning and what kids are actually learning in school now. I mean, I'm 60, going to be 66 years old now. But I can look back now, and it was the seventh or eighth grade that, in lit class, we read The Cremation of Sam McGee, or the Greek myths that probably would be considered anathema to a lot of the right-wing Republicans these days. And I remember in eighth grade, I actually read A Stranger in a Strange Land by Heinlein, which, because of some of the content, they'd really have a bird about, that being exposed, you know, somebody of that age being exposed to that literature. And it is just sad that the purpose of our education system is not just to crank out cogs for the corporations and for the to be laborers. It's to produce citizens, and that part of the, you know, that if you read the Federalist Papers, I realize I'm going to link this in, that people actually understood what they're talking about in the Federalist Papers. And in the Federalist Papers, they weren't quoting the Bible. They were talking about, you know, things from the experiments in democracy in among the ancients, as well as more recent, you know, more recent attempts at experiments in democracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark, appreciate the call.
We got a lot of callers, Mark. Yeah, so we had a little short. It's because you were sharing such thoughtful and important stuff, but we want to make sure we get to all of our callers. Mark from the SAC, thanks for calling, man. That's some good stuff.
L.A. Tom, though. L.A. Tom's out there. What's happening, Tom?
Hey, guys, first off, we the people ultimately are the government and not the corporations. Oh, yeah. and we must wake up and get money out of politics so we can restore government back to we the people. Second, I really think that when you're talking about these referendums, you have got to break it down to how much each person is actually spending. I think that's very important. Also, I am a small business owner. I'm not a rich small business owner. I'm a mom and pop, like every mom and pop businesses, or pop and pop, or mom and mom businesses, which is basically independent retailers. And I'm going to tell you right now, everyone should be talking about the return on investment that you get, whether it's a dollar, $1.60 you get back from every dollar you spend on, I want to say food stamps, because that's been overly loaded, but for assistance for food, which comes through the farm bill, which a lot of people don't even realize. You know, there's things out there that are investments, and I always look at things like when I advertise, okay, if I'm putting $5 out, I want to get $10 back. But this is something in terms of the public good. That's why it's the public and not the private. That's why the private schools and the charter schools and the religious schools do not belong anywhere near a public school, or to take any of the tax dollars from we the people.
Yeah, absolutely, man. LA Tom is right on point. And thank you, LA Tom, for your call always, but especially tonight, reminding us that it's an investment in the local economy. It's a necessary investment in our local economy. A strong school is like LA Tom said, $5 in, $10 back. It's like $5 in, $500 back. There is an initial $5 in, but it's like $500 back. It's the wisest investment we can make in the local economy, in our locale, wherever we are, urban, rural, rural communities. It gives back, and we can actually pull those actual numbers, Tim, this week. But it's so important. So appreciate it. We got another caller on the line still, Anya. We got.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're still good.
All right, cool. Let's get to our next caller. Do we have CJ calling in?
CJ.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Are you gentlemen aware of how much per student taxpayers pay in Wisconsin?
Tell me how much.
Over $16,800.
Okay, now that's the public school cost. Hold on, CJ. We just want to make sure we break this down. $16,000 a year to educate one public school student in the state of Wisconsin. That's right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Now that's about right.
And it's gone up every year. And we found out during COVID, I'd like you gentlemen, because here's my concern. Our kids aren't learning. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. The focus is on things that doesn't create an educated child. I've had kids show up on the job site who can't read a tape measure at the age of 19 years old. That, to me, is shameful. We're shuffling kids through the system, and that's my concern. They are not.
CJ, that's a really valid concern, though, to think about that. You know, uneducated. In fact, I know Teacher Joanna, you would say, you know, one of the hardest things is trying to help and fill in gaps for students like that. But putting the effort in, though, it's still worth it. Teacher Joanna. Uh-oh.
Well, it just doesn't describe my reality of being an educator for so long and being engaged with kids learning.
Yeah. No, so CJ, yeah, I mean, we recognize the potential that some students might not be educated. I think, though, when you're making the sweeping claim, though, that math, reading, and those things that aren't happening, actually this statistics on the increase in mathematical awareness, mathematical achievement, reading comprehension over the past 30 years. It's been a continual incline across public schools. Johnny, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate CJ's call because, you know, one, it's really helpful to for listeners, and we were going to pull those numbers, but it's really helpful to understand that that is per pupil. There is a cost per pupil.
Right.
And CJ brought that up. It's helpful to know it's like around, and he gave the number 16,000. There's a few different numbers that pop up in that ballpark. But let's say on a good day, $16,000 per pupil is what goes into the schools, kind of how we figure out budgets to take care of public education. And I'm with CJ on this and this point. We have to teach really relevant skills. Like, we have to be really on the ground about this because, man, I taught math for so many years, and and one of the most important things, I mean, it's useless if I give a bunch of worksheets and kids. Now, I don't think that's what most teachers are doing, but I'm not going to say that it's not happening because I've worked in and out of a number of different schools where the conditions have gotten so dire or have so run down that the quality of education isn't there. And for $16,000 per pupil or more, we should be able to do better. We should be able to improve conditions to where what kids are learning is relevant and isn't just, you know, going to help them on a test score. Because I love what CJ's talking about, making sure our curriculum across the board is applied, that that no matter who you are, when you leave school, you have a set of skills that directly feed into your local economy, into your well-being, into the community. And so that is something I know most of the teachers I work with take great pride in, is that they have the freedom and autonomy to make learning meaningful and bring it into real life examples and skills. Now, I will say firsthand, it has gotten harder and harder to do that. So CJ's pointing to some realities here. It's gotten harder and harder to do that because there's some new math curriculum where we got to do 800 problems in 4 days. And it's like, wait a minute, if we did 16 of those 800 problems, did those 16 well and applied it to something, how much more useful would that be? So I think CJ's right here with us. Let's see. If CJ's still here, did I get that correct, CJ? I think we're on the same page with this, huh?
Well, I do, and that's why I think trade schools are a great plus for any young person, because I was involved in the trades for 30-plus years, and it's amazing. You can make a great income, and you can make a great contribution to society, and it's you get training. I was blessed to be able to go to a training facility that is amazing, and you know, we can't shuffle kids on, and that's why it's frustrating. I'm all about school choice, to be able to take that money out of a failed school, because schools now are focusing on things, everything else.
CJ, thanks for calling, because I think more conversation and more dialogue with CJ is important. We won't be able to do it tonight, but CJ, we agree on a lot of stuff. We just point to different reasons on why things are the way they are, because I think that the choice you're talking about isn't actually a choice. And I think the investments are, or the options that you bring up, are so important. We could take it even further into our community college systems, into alternate learning that is it values the trades. Remember, we're blue collar scholars here.
John, I was going to say, I mean, think about that, right? Multiple ways to, quote, get educated out there. The idea, you know, trade school, potentially looking at the ability for it to, again, the end result, as CJ said, a contributing member of society, right?
Yeah.
Okay. However, you know, yeah, jumping to the failed schools and therefore give the money away as choice. We're going to have that conversation.
Yeah, because we know that that's actually a label that gets put on so many schools. I mean, every school I taught in was labeled a failing school. But at some point, it wasn't. It was a successful school, but the whole system of measurement, right, of succeeding kept upping the level. And I will say this from evidence, that the process of staying a successful, and these are labels that are attached to assessments, a successful school, okay, required we moved further and further away from the reality kind of skills learning.
Thank you, Johnny.
That CJ and I are on the same page about. But he's right about the labels. I mean, that's an important conversation for us to have because, Tim, we always talk about talking to our neighbor. My neighbor says, well, all the schools around here are failing. And he's not wrong based on that measurement. But what I want to emphasize, and Teacher Joanna will probably have something to say about this part of it. The kids are always learning. They might not be learning what we want them to, which is even more reason for us to invest, right? But they're always learning. So I just want to point out how important it is, CJ. Thanks for your passion. Thanks for caring about a public education and education in general. But be careful, my man. Kids are always learning. They just might not be learning what we want them to or think they're learning, but they're always learning.
Yeah, there it is. Lots to go there. Joanna, though, when Johnny brings us into that, though, the idea that kids are always learning, and I think what we would say here then is that, yeah, and sometimes what they're learning potentially when their needs aren't met is they're kind of learning that whole reality that maybe somebody doesn't care. Maybe the system doesn't care. Right. Yeah.
I explained in another show how, you know, my son is now a man in the workplace and all he experienced was disinvestment and losing programs throughout the whole course of his career. And so there really are personal, emotional aspects to recognizing that someone or something isn't investing in you. And this is actually back to when I said, we're not accepting the realities of students and teachers who, you know, we have some of the same recommendations. We'd love to see a breadth of options for students, but we're not accepting right now in our current system. And of course, I don't think the answer is school choice, but it's about accepting
about 16.
There it is. Know that guitar riff. 855-752-4842. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. It's truly educators talking education because we have Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna.
Yeah.
Lots of calls on the last, you know, segment there. Great to hear, you know, a little bit of a disagreement potentially, but Teacher Joanna, when we were talking about this is to say, you know, the disinvestment and how that accumulates on a kid, right? The potential to say nobody cares. And to recognize that kind of a message is heard loud and clear by the kids, that a disinvestment. So when you talk about the head of Northwestern coming out and saying, hey, want to teach these kids, you know, a real lesson? Let's vote no. You are going to teach them a lesson, dude. It might not be a lesson you wanted, though, right?
That's what we were talking about.
Well,
right?
And
Joanna, go ahead.
Sorry, John. When teachers enter the classroom every day, I know you guys talk about the bigger democratic value. It's this and that. I'll be honest. When I'm entering the classroom, I'm not thinking of that. I'm thinking of the humans in front of me. I'm thinking that Tim needs this. Johnny needs that. Hallie's excited about this. And I just want to keep that forefront that, like I said, like that's my reality and that's those kids' reality. And well, I don't hear that in our discussions.
See, Teacher Joanna, I appreciate it, but I get a little weary of it because on the flip, every day I walked into the classrooms, those values were up on the wall in elementary school, middle school, and high school. And I thought about them every day. And I work with teachers that think about them every day, the same way you're describing it. And I think it's so dangerous when we pull them apart and say that they're talked about up here. Because when I say something like truth is important, diversity is a condition upon which we all exist, equity and equality are important things. they're important to everyone, and we don't want to like put them up in this world where they're like too intellectualized and not part of our everyday aspect of care. So I just want to add that piece because I think you do actually think about them.
That's not the point I'm trying to make, but I'm saying that's not the point that I'm trying to personally make, but that is the point that's made when decisions are being made for students and teachers.
Well, that's not democracy, right? Because decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decision being made. So if we care about democracy, then we're participating in that decision-making process. Man, the phones are blowing up. The texts are going off the chain. My phone's going up because we talk about all the time being blue-collar scholars. And Mark texted that he had shop class in 7th and 9th grade, right? And he had home economics. L.A. Tom called and said, man, it was good to hear CJ agree with the Biden administration. I'm not sure I agree with the Biden administration, but maybe CJ did tonight. But I'll tell you what, CJ's points have to be part of this conversation because it's so important that we really look at those options.
Well, and those are the things that have been lost, though. The very things that our callers are calling about and people are writing about, and so that's what I mean, again, accept the reality that in many places, those things are gone. The kids don't have that. They don't have it right now.
Yeah.
This comes back to it, Tim. Dare I say it? This is why I told you the reality for a parent in a community where those things are completely gone, and then you get a brochure that says, you want to learn a skilled trade? You want to learn to computer program? You want an education that will be like this? Come to this charter school. They're going there.
Right? Well, that's the design to fail public schools. When you set them up like that, constant disinvestment, underfunding until the point that, families then show up and say, boy, this is horrible. And all of a sudden now the choice advocates put forth, well, if you really want a school that you can get rulers and you can get, music class, Joanna, go ahead.
That's why blanket statements like nobody's learning anything are inaccurate. And blanket statements like nobody's learning anything, I think, just sets up to intimidate, to eliminate. Mm-hmm. And again, as an educator, it's a lot. It's a lot to know that you actually are making a difference and people are learning, but that that's kind of based on when I connected, Tim, of like what we label learning through standardization. Wow. How it can be weaponized, but there is a whole generation of youth out here. They're beautiful, intelligent people who believe in compassion, love, nurturing one another, being co-creators and deserving of a well-invested in future and people who believe in them.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be heavy because we tell the good, the bad, and the ugly about public education. And I've been in schools, public schools especially, and around teachers who have actually devalued, done a really good job of devaluing the skilled trades, of devaluing a lot of these diverse, different kinds of ways of learning, of being co-creative, or bringing, emotional compassion, or dare we say political activism into their work, right? And so schools are not benevolent in the process that there are a lot of young people who are learning, but who are often discouraged because they're taught learning and intelligence looks one way, and it's doing this test. And that's happening in public schools enough for it to be a problem. But that we got, like Teacher Joanna said, we got to be careful to not make a blanket statement. That's not a reason to get rid of public education. That's a reason to dig in and clean up the mess we've got, because schools shouldn't be about separating really intelligent people into groups where they feel like they're not intelligent anymore. And for a lot of kids, that's their school experience.
Yeah. Man, Educators Amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, so much going on there.
Love Wednesdays.
Educated. Educators Talking Education, Busted Pencils. Lots of great callers, everybody appreciating what you're doing. But the reality, yeah, let's keep this and understand learning is huge, and those kids are always learning. And you know what? All those teachers are learning. And if we want them to feel that, they need to understand the investment is worth it, and we believe they're worth it. Busted Pencils, more tomorrow night.